Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. This is a real treat. In studio with us, we have Pastor Steve Robertson of the First Presbyterian Church in Hastings. You hear his voice every week on the radio, and he is inviting the public to a wonderful celebration at the church, celebrating their 170th anniversary of a congregation and their 150th anniversary of the church building. Great to see you. How have you been?
Been good. It's good to be back.
Well, it's good to have you back in studio. I hear you all the time on the radio, but it's nice to see you. So first of all, congratulations. What an accomplishment. 150 years that building has been standing where it is, right next to the radio station.
Which I always like to remember is, you know, way out there on 6th Street, way out from town, they built way down where probably nobody, you know, was
lived at the time. Is that part of the folklore? Is that when the church was built, it really was away from everything?
The original church was down at 4th.
Yep.
And then apparently they decided to build this new building, and they sold the building, which became some kind of a blacksmith shop, I believe.
Okay.
But the building got moved somewhere else.
Okay.
And it was a wood frame building. And,
okay.
it got moved, and then I think the Lutherans took the original site, and then Presbyterians, and built a stone. You see the brick from the outside, but the stone is, our lower level walls are 24 inches thick.
Bomb shelter. Wow.
So I went in 1907 when the church steeple was struck. Most people don't realize there was a taller steeple on one of the two front parts. The steeple was struck by lightning, and the big brass bell fell through the stairwell in there and broke. And
that
was the end of the city's bell. But the upstairs burned because of the fire.
From the lightning strike,
but the lower level did not, and the church was able within a few weeks to resume worship back in the lower level as they had started out, and then rebuilt the upper. And those who have had the guts to go up there, which does not include me, as much as I would love to see this,
yes,
they tell me you can still see the fire-burned trusses up in the roof.
Oh my gosh.
And they just kind of reinforced around them and kept those in place and rebuilt the upstairs and then redid the sanctuary. So most of our upstairs sanctuary is from post 1907 fire.
So let's talk about your beautiful space. The church that we know now was built 150 years ago.
1876.
Oh, 1876. How did they have the technology to build such a beautiful space and a sturdy space? I mean, look at that. It's incredible.
As I like to remind people, when they're trying to find a electrical outlet, this building was built before electricity.
Bingo. Okay.
And our restrooms are evidence that they were built before indoor plumbing. I mean, they're nice. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But not what we would probably build today if we could.
But built into a hill, basically. I mean, it really is a cool building.
I have been told that if you dig down not very far, that one of the reasons that the church has no basement is because when they began digging, they found the shale rock, and they could not dig down for a basement.
Because we're so close to the river?
I guess.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So that's one of the reasons that they ended up. Essentially, our basement is our
first level, kind of, right?
You basically walk in on the first level.
Well, it really is a spectacular space. And I would assume that over the years, you've done modifications. But was it pretty much like this the whole 150 years?
Yes.
Okay.
And they've, you know, redecorated and recarpeted and things like that. But the pews are the curved pews. They're curved pews in the upstairs sanctuary. And those are from post-1907 fire when they were put in. They've changed the chancel around a little bit. Again, those who've been up in the rafters tell me that there is a mural painted on the back wall of the sanctuary up in the rafters up there. So I'm not sure what.
So was the altar area more open at one time?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I find that fascinating.
I do too.
All the pictures that we have are post-1907.
Of course.
And their variation. I mean, they've painted and whatnot.
But right.
Don't read on lighting. Used to have hanging light fixtures, and now we have more of a fluorescent tubes and,
okay.
and
right.
that sort of thing. You know, indirect lighting. Yeah.
Well, I'm fascinated, though, by how things really can be built to last so long. And we think about the technology and the equipment that we have of today to build things. Think back, you know, all those years ago.
Well, just the effort to construct the church and also to raise the money to fund the church.
That's the part,
when,
yeah.
I like to remind people that the church was built to seat 200 or so people, depending on how close you want to feel to your neighbor.
Sure.
And at the time it was built, there were about 2,000 some odd people in the city of Hastings. Mm-hmm. We still have a lot of folks that live in the rural areas, but think about a church for mm-hmm. 200 people in a town of 2,000.
Mm-hmm.
So they were pretty optimistic and pretty forward-thinking at the time.
Very much so. So the Presbyterian Church is one of the oldest churches in Hastings.
The Episcopal Church and the Presbyterian Church were founded right at the same time.
They were, okay. Uh-huh. And I know Guardian Angels was right around that same time
not
as
long.
Well.
Yeah,
100. And I think they just celebrated 160 years
yeah.
of that church. Again, they had a fire there too and, you know, had to rebuild and do different things. I think about, though, as you mentioned, the sacrifices that people had to make to construct a church like this.
When I'm reading in the history stuff, I find it interesting, all the things about how the men, of course, it was very segregated. The men gathered to work. The women prepared the dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it was a very, very active community involvement,
oh.
a place of engagement for mm-hmm. the community as mm-hmm. much as a place of worship on Sundays. So, yeah, and you know, the congregation has been involved in the community over its history. One of the things that I'm hoping to do a little more of, after I have a little more time in the future, is to recover some of that history. I know people tell me the recent stories of the congregation being involved in the community meal programs locally during the summers and other things that they've been involved in outreach in the community. And I want to recover some of that story. I know that it's been there. It just, ironically, it isn't something that the Presbyterians recorded in our history very well. So I've got to dig a little harder for that.
Well, let's talk about this celebration. It's going to be on Sunday, November 2nd, and the worship starts at 10:30. There's going to be a lunch to follow. What can we expect, please?
So we are celebrating the 170th anniversary of the congregation and the 150th anniversary of the building itself. And most of our living pastors, former pastors, will be there. As soon as we set the date, I reached out to all of them and got it on their calendar. But one of them has a family wedding scheduled that weekend. The bride beat me to the...
That's okay,
beat
right?
Beat me to the date, right? Pat Handelson, longtime pastors, will be here. Pat and Debbie, and Pat will be preaching as part of our worship service, but all of us will be participating in the service. We'll have other community representatives. Mayor Mary will be there bringing greetings from the city and other folks from our presbytery as well. And we're going to celebrate the history and the many people who have been a part. Mm. The actual anniversary date of the church mm-hmm. is in January, at the end of January mm-hmm. of next year. But when we were talking about when to hold a celebration, we didn't want to do that at a time when snow or ice might
preclude people from coming.
And I've already had to promise Debbie Handelson that it won't snow or be below 32 degrees on November 2nd. So I hope the community will join me in prayer. My promise is fulfilled. So we backed up into the... We started looking in the fall and said, well, when should we do this? And, you know, but then you got to get around Thanksgiving and Christmas, of course, and all that. And somebody suggested Sunday, November 2nd. And my first reaction was, oh, we don't want to do it then because that's all, in our tradition, that's All Saints Sunday. The Sunday we celebrate.
I think it's perfect.
Saints of the church.
Capital S and small s.
Small s and big s. All those folks who've been before us as part of the church. And then the more I thought about it, I came to where you came to right away. It's the perfect day.
It's the perfect day.
Yes, we will remember those from among us. One of our saints whose life we just celebrated 3 or 4 weeks ago, Bob Albright, who had been a part of that church all of his life. His His family moved here when he was 3 months old. He died at age 80. And all of his life, he has been a member of that church or been around that church. Mm. So, yes, we will celebrate all those folks and the 2,000 some odd other folks who've been a part of the church over the years. I love, and I wish we kept it up, we have a list of all the folks who have been a part. It's alphabetical and then by number, so chronological role of members. It stopped in 1984. One of my later projects is to add the next part of that. But if you do the math, we've had 2,000 people who've been a part of that church mm-hmm. at some point in time for some period of time. Some of them, like Bob, for 80 years. And some for
new. Yep.
8
10.
Years.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, whatever. So we'll be celebrating all of that. And it is an appropriate Sunday, All Saints Day.
It's
so
lovely.
So we're kind of weaving a lot into a worship service. Then we get to go downstairs, and I want to mention this. We're being hosted at our dinner by the Homestead Community Church folks. When they heard what we were planning, they said, oh, please let us host the dinner for you. And it's such a gift because it means our people are not trying to be in the kitchen. And
that's
going to
be a shift for them, but I hope they are gracious enough to accept that.
Oh, I think they are very, very graciously and joyfully accepting it, and means that our congregation can be a part of the service and not downstairs in the kitchen preparing for our guests. But yeah, we have a number of folks that will be there for lunch. And then, weather permitting, we'll slip outside. And if anybody's driven down 6th Street, we became a news item in one of the storms a few weeks ago when one of the trees
yes.
fell. And it unfortunately fell in the middle of the street on a Friday evening. That had to get cleared up. But we have planted a new tree in the tree box on 6th Street. For the 150th anniversary, they planted a tree on 6th Street right outside the 6th Street door.
Wonderful.
And we've planted a new one.
Oh, how appropriate.
Will continue for many years.
Many years. Oh, how lovely. Well, this event, again, is going to be Sunday, November 2nd, and worship starts at 10:30 a.m. If you do want to come to the celebratory lunch, please do RSVP by calling 651-437-9656, and that will be right afterwards.
Or just come. We're trying to get an idea so we can plan appropriately, of course,
but just come. I love that.
I really would hope. We've been trying to reach out to former church members, kids of members, families, you know, people who've been touched by the church in some way. Mm-hmm. Of course, we don't have everybody's address and email and whatnot. So, yes, if you hear this and say, you know what, I remember that church. I've been there for things. And come join us. Come just for the worship service. Come and stay for lunch. We'll welcome you either way.
Let's talk about the space upstairs, because I just again am fascinated by all those years ago how such a wonderful acoustically sound space was engineered. It really is so lovely. And I think I've told you this before, our kids took piano lessons for many, many years, and their recitals were held at your beautiful space. And oh my gosh, it's so pretty. The music just, you know, it just resonates off the walls. It's gorgeous. And I've had the opportunity to sing at your church a few times. And the same thing. I mean, it really is so acoustically lovely.
And I'm glad you used the term engineered. However, my guess is going to be it's more good luck than
kids go to school, a college. You can get a degree in engineering, how to make an acoustically engineer or something.
They just spent billions of dollars a few years ago at David Geffen Hall at the Lincoln Center to completely rebuild it because of the acoustics.
Well, the acoustics in your church.
But our church just,
I don't know
just
what it
has
is. It totally has it. Yes.
The walls.
And it's a it's a bright sound. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a beautiful space. A little harder when we're talking about the spoken voice challenges us mm-hmm. a little bit more mm-hmm. with our sound system because of that. But for music, it's just beautiful.
It is. It's so lovely. Well, this is going to be really a wonderful treat for people. And as you mentioned, Pastor Pat Handelson is coming to preach as well. But how many pastors have you had over the course?
Since you made me count.
Yeah, I did, actually. That's why we had to start our interview a little late.
I'm number 32.
Wow.
Number 32. And we'll have four of the other living pastors.
That's so wonderful.
You know, the pastor a lot of people remember is Hal Freeman, who was here for 25 years.
Long time.
From 1963 to 1988.
Yes, he was a pillar in our community.
An institution.
Very much so. Yes.
I think he transcended the pillar status to move.
Yes.
But, you know, 25 years of serving that congregation. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's going to be a great opportunity for people, as you said, to come and congratulate you on this wonderful, wonderful celebration. And the Presbyterian Church has done so much for our community of Hastings. So it's nice that we will be able to come back and tell you that in person and thank you.
And the offering that we're receiving that day will be going towards Hastings Family Services Christmas Share Program.
Wonderful.
So anything we receive that day will support our annual gift to them.
Thank you so much. And again, people are all invited to this wonderful celebration of the First Presbyterian Church. It's their 170th anniversary of the congregation and the 150th anniversary of the church building. It's going to be on Sunday, November 2nd. Worship starts at 10:30. There will be a lunch afterwards. And it's just a great way for us to publicly celebrate this historic milestone in the church's life and history. Great to see you.
And for those who are driving by,
honk.
Honk.
Okay.
Well, that's fine. Yes, honk. But look up over the front door. There's a stone marker there that says centennial because the church was built in 1876. Most people think that that was put there in recognition of the country's centennial year.
It's okay.
Others say, oh, it was put there to mark that the church would last another 100 years.
Love it. So. And it has.
And
yes.
It has.
Great to see you. Thank you so much. Current Pastor Steve Robertson of the First Presbyterian Church. And again, don't miss this wonderful celebration, November 2nd. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
To pray.